The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. He's coming to us live from the Louisiana-Mississippi All-American game?
Alabama.
Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game. That's Tom Fornelli. He is at home in Chicago. But we've got a lot to get to. I also want to hit you with something that you might not be prepared for, Barton. But what's been the highlight so far as you're down there? If you follow Barton on Twitter, at Barton Simmons, he's been giving you some cut-ups with early signing period coming up. A lot of these guys, I know we've got some fans that listen to the podcast that are interested in some of the players from Alabama and Mississippi that are in this All-Star game. How have things been so far?
Nasty, rainy. This is the time of year where I catch a cold because I'm always outside watching All-Star events in 42 degree weather with a little bit of rain and a lot of wind. And so it's kind of one of those days in beautiful Hattiesburg. But so far so good. Some good players out here. A lot of Mississippi State commits, few Ole Miss commits, nothing dramatic to report yet, but good talent.
So Tom, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, if it makes you feel any better, like the high here in Chicago today was like 24 after it was like 50 yesterday. So
yeah, but were you outside?
Yeah.
Were you sitting safely in your den?
I was outside getting a tan. I mean, I said it was 24. It's great weather.
Yeah. We've seen the basement. We got a little peek that one time. At the full where the numbers are crunched. Okay, so Barton, as you are down there, I don't know if you've seen these recent reports. Are there any LSU defensive players at the All-Star game?
No, there's LSU recruiting a few, but none. The report started surfacing that you're alluding to, I think, after practice, and I never really got a chance to discuss. But is the Dave Aranda, the UNLV stuff really picking up steam?
When Bruce Feldman's coming out and saying it could be sorted out as early as within the next 24 hours, I at least believe it's serious. I mean, what about you, Tom?
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw there were like, I think Rittenberg mentioned something about it earlier and I was kind of like, huh? Because it seemed weird to me. And then, yeah, like Feldman just kind of tweeted it as we were about to start recording. So it definitely seems to be some momentum heading that way.
So I talked to someone that had a little bit of knowledge of that process, that search, and that UNLV job is, I think, surprisingly appealing. Because they're getting these sort of brand new facilities. Their
yep.
stadium is, I guess, the new Raiders stadium. Their athletic director is a really sharp woman who is determined and committed to putting a lot of resources into that program. And so, you know, Dave Aranda is like a $2.5 million coordinator. I think he is, if he's not the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country, he's top three. And so it might be a little surprising that he would jump for a program like that. But according to, I mean, it appears from the people I've talked to that UNLV gig is much more impressive when you sort of look under the hood and get close to it.
See,
it just feels weird, though.
No. I've got a different theory. I'm glad to hear that, because that probably makes sense, Barton. I've heard the same thing about the stadium, the facilities, and the idea that there could be some intrigue there. You factor in the personality aspects of Dave Aranda, someone who I don't know personally, but a lot of accounts just say he's a little bit just a different dude, just not going to be driven by the same motivations that we might assume or come to expect from a college football assistant. See, my theory is that Dave Aranda has spent this whole season trying to keep a defense together opposite of this new Joe Brady, Steve Eisenminger wide open offense. And Dave Aranda's like, forget this. I don't want to be the defensive coordinator that's going to get fired, because no defense is going to be able to put up any kind of good numbers when you're playing opposite of an offense whose average touchdown drive is under 3 minutes. That, yes, there might be some aspect of this that is that UNLV is an intriguing position, but if Dave Aranda is looking at his own career and considering those moments when a boat comes to harbor and it's like, hey, you can be a head coach, like, this is an opportunity. Do you want, we can go on to the next harbor, or you can come get on this boat, that after a full season of trying to lead a defense that even with superstar NFL players on it was giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points, that Dave Aranda might be like, you know what? Especially with my price tag right now, if I can go get a real big financial commitment and get to build something from the ground up, I don't know if I'll get that kind of opportunity again. That the LSU offense has led Dave Aranda towards seeking a head coaching opportunity.
Well, that's a respectable theory, and I think there's probably something to that, maybe. But I also think, look, if you want to be a head coach, and ultimately, Dave Aranda, if he wants to be a head coach, I mean, he's priced himself out of like a lot of jobs as the LSU defensive coordinator. So you're just going to have to take a pay cut at some point if you want to make that leap. And I mean, these guys, how much money does Dave Aranda really spend? Like, what's the Dave Aranda like? You know, I mean, yeah. I don't think Dave Aranda is out like flossing in a, I don't know what the hot rapper car is these days, but like, that ain't what Dave Aranda is spending his money on. He's getting meals at the university. He's wearing school issued gear, and he's watching film 18 hours a day. Like, it's okay. Like Dave Aranda is going to be all right making $1.5 million next year. So there's that element. And I also think like the knock on Dave Aranda as a head coach is he is this like very cerebral, sort of understated, not a very flashy guy from a personality standpoint. Like, is he going to be a guy that commands the room and recruits at a high level as a head coach? I think in some ways, like the contrast of his very cerebral personality to the flash and glitz of UNLV in Las Vegas could actually be the perfect yin and yang to sort of balance each other out. And, he could be that reassuring voice to the parents sending their kids to the Vegas Strip, and he could, you know, for the kids that aren't as gassed up about the official visit not being lit enough or whatever, like, they still got the Vegas Strip to fire them up. So in some ways, like, if this Dave Aranda thing plays out, I think it's kind of makes some sense.
I mean, raise your hand if you'd have thought that the head coaching job Dave Aranda would leave LSU for one day would be UNLV.
not me.
Right.
That's what I mean when I say it feels strange, because it's like, this is a guy who, you know, the star, the rising star coordinator, he's a guy who's been on those lists you see every year of coordinators ready to make the leap to a head coaching position. And you thought it would be a Power 5 gig, but I mean, maybe the UNLV job, everything that he wants is going to be there, and it's going to be something that works really well for him. I mean, he does have some experience in that portion of the country, so, you know, maybe he's got some ties in there, you know, California, he's been at Utah State, he's been at Hawaii. So maybe it can work for him. It's just, I didn't think he would be UNLV. I thought he would end up being somebody that went to an SEC gig. But I guess now, you know, it's everybody's hiring offensive guys in the SEC now, too. So even Aranda can't find a job there.
I guess. Okay, so we've got a lot of headlines to get to here. We also have an Army-Navy game coming up on CBS. You can stream it on CBSSports.com or on the CBS Sports mobile app. It'll be available. Kickoff's at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Tom, what do? When Army-Navy play each other?
We take the under.
Blindly. And it's at 40. How are you going to put a 4 on that number and have me not... Like, you can't scare me away at 40. This game is going to be 17-14. So I'm also taking Army. Is that's a scary proposition given the way the Army's defense has played this year and the fact that Navy's ground game is averaging about over 6 yards per carry. But I'm still taking the points. It's a gentlemanly game. I'm going to take the double-digit underdog in the under.
For what it's worth, last year the total was 38.5, but something to consider. I'm with you. I will take Army and the under, but Vegas is kind of catching on a little bit because, like I said, last year the total was 38.5, but before that, going back, you know, in time, the totals were 44, 47.5, 51, 55.5.
What? That is ludicrous.
49.5. 55.5 again. So you see, it's like the total in the last 2 years has dropped about 10 points from where they used to set the total for this game. So it's like when it's opening at like 42 or 43, I think is where it opened at some places. I got it at 42. And now it's down to 40, 41.5. It's getting a little, you know, there's not as much room for error anymore.
You think Vegas is listening to the pod, huh?
Absolutely.
I think that is definitely me. I ruined it. They didn't notice on their own. It's clearly me.
Yeah, an 80% clip of unders hitting since 2005. It wasn't until Tom was added to the locks jingle that they really picked up on it.
There's somebody who was like, oh my God. How did I not see this?
Barton, do you have any plays or feels on Army-Navy?
No, just based on purely principle, a two-score underdog in this game, I'm happy to take that. So I'm not dug into the game. I'm not my research staff has not given me its full report yet, but my hunch would certainly be playing Army in this one.
And how about the Jeff Munkin angle in the fact that if Army season goes differently and goes more like the last couple where, you know, Army's won the last 3 in this series and then obviously last year, 10-win team, you know, Jeff Munkin was somebody that we joked about on the before Lovie Smith found the power in his beard and Illinois turned everything around, knocked off Wisconsin, got themselves to a bowl game. And they're going to cover against Cal. Shout out to the Illini. We were talking about Jeff Munkin as a potential target for a Power 5 head coaching job. Now that this game does not come with the extra storyline of is Jeff Munkin gone? Is Jeff Munkin going to leave? Army football's been a weird proposition this year. I don't know how I'm sitting on the Black Knights right now.
Yeah, I mean they haven't been the team we've seen the last few years, but I just think that. I mean, Munkin's name was coming up for the Mizzou search.
And that's why the Mizzou search had to pivot to Sam Pittman. The Mizzou brass did not like that Jeff Munkin's name was coming up in Mizzou search.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not the same team they have been in recent years. And I think Navy bounced back and, you know, Malcolm Perry's made a huge difference for Navy the season he's had. Just him alone, he's pretty much made Navy a much better football team because he's more he brings a passing element that they've really lacked for a long time. So I think this game's going to be interesting. I think that Army is, it's weird because it's, I don't want to say lack of talent because it's not like any, you know, Army's ever chock full of talent, but I do feel like there is somewhat of a talent drop between last year's team and this year's team, and I think that that's been a huge factor in them having a pretty subpar season overall, considering what they had been the last few years.
No doubt. That game, of course, will be on CBS. You can stream it for free on CBSSports.com or on the CBS Sports mobile app. And that's not like a free as in, you know, yeah, we got to come get a bunch of information. It's going to be right there. It's going to be perfectly available for free $99. Okay, we had some assistant movement in terms of the coaching search. This is where Barton Simmons told you the things get really interesting. Between Chad Morris, now the offensive coordinator at Auburn, or Matt Luke, now the offensive line and associate head coach at Georgia, which of those two hires moves you more, Barton?
In a way, it's Matt Luke. I think I want to give credit to Kirby Smart here because that was a pretty critical and substantive loss. When Sam Pittman left to go to Arkansas, and as much as anything, I mean, recruiting is a big reason for that. And Sam Pittman has really been a driver for Georgia's success recruiting because of how he's been able to bring in these huge, talented offensive linemen. And he has a bunch of these huge, talented offensive linemen in this class. And if Sam Pittman goes to Arkansas, gets that gig, and Kirby Smart has no answers before the early signing period for these huge, talented offensive linemen, there might be a temptation for them to, you know, go check out Fayetteville or get you know, influenced by one of these other elite programs that are chasing them. But for him to sew up Matt Luke as quickly as he did, I mean, that's the key. The timing of it is just, I mean, that was moving quick because Sam Pittman wasn't even, I mean, he wasn't the lead candidate for that Arkansas job until the very end. I mean, sure, he was mentioned and he wanted it. So Kirby Smart was forced to think about this, but clearly he had a really strong plan in place that he executed quickly to get Matt Luke in the fold. And I think that, I mean, Matt Luke is a good offensive line coach and well-liked at Ole Miss. And I think from a recruiting standpoint, at least, I think that's a pretty good and effective Band-Aid. Ultimately at Auburn, it's like, hey, Chad Morris, former high-profile coordinator, two-time head coach, and yet it's still Gus Malzahn's offense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Matt Luke could talk to Kirby about the wonders that having a more open kind of offense did for him. And maybe could do for Georgia going forward. But I think that Chad Morris is the, you know, the sexier move because it's Chad Morris, because he's the former head coach, because of what he was able to do at Clemson. But like Barton just said, I feel like no matter who Auburn's offensive coordinator is, I always feel like it's going to be Gus Malzahn's offense. And at the end of the day, it's going to be Gus Malzahn who's got Chad Morris doing what he wants him to do. So I think that the Luke hire is a good thing for Georgia and maybe keeping that pipeline going with what they've been able to do on their offensive line. But like I said, I kind of think Georgia's got other moves that it needs to make that could be more important for it going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Whoever the Auburn offensive coordinator is, it's going to be Gus Malzahn's offense. But I do think that it was a little bit of, you know, with the hire being made, Dillingham leaves Auburn to go be with Mike Norvell at Florida State. And, you know, Auburn's got Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris have a previous relationship. And Chad Morris doesn't have a job. He's offensive-minded, former high-profile offensive coordinator. All of a sudden, Gus Malzahn has an open offensive coordinator position. I mean, I'm just totally... just totally making reaches that I shouldn't make right now. But what do you think that first call or text was like between these two? I mean, isn't that where like you're single now and she's single now too? Right? Like it's like all the sudden.
Let's just see where this takes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't have any specific confidence. I do not believe that Chad Morris is a great plus value add in a way that it changes what my expectations are for Bo Nix in 2020 or moving forward. I just think that with those two dudes, that when all of a sudden Gus needed and Chad Morris was available, they just kind of looked at each other. It was the end of the night and they were like, well, you know what? Let's just see what happens.
You're saying there might have been a couple of late night text messages between these two over the last few years, and just, you know, one of them couldn't answer when the other one texted, and now all of a sudden they can freely text and talk.
Yeah.
And you know, this thing just works out.
It just happens to work out. You know, and you know, we'll see what I think Auburn's offense probably depends way more on Gus Malzahn and Bo Nix than it does on Chad Morris. But these are just a couple old lovebirds that are single and get back together.
I hope it works out for them.
I wonder if it'll be interesting to see. I still think Chandler Morris, Chad Morris's son, who was committed to Arkansas, I still think he probably ends up at Oklahoma. But hey, maybe that's an inroad to get Chandler Morris to come down to Auburn as well.
So he's a recruit right now, right?
He's a 2020 quarterback.
See, when the Jordan Love might leave or go to the NFL draft, and if he leaves, he might go to Oklahoma. I just held my hands up and I'm like, are we forgetting about Spencer Rattler?
I mean, that if Oklahoma pursues Jordan Love, that is, I think, an interesting statement as to its confidence level in Spencer Rattler, who is their true freshman quarterback that redshirted this year, who was the number one quarterback in the country according to 24/7 Sports in 2019. And I wonder if that's just like that is a little bit of a statement as to the way Oklahoma handles things moving forward. It's like, it's almost as if, look, high school kids, you can come to our place and we're going to recruit you and we develop and produce tremendous quarterback talent. But really what we're doing here is we're going to go find the best free agent every year. And so if you can beat out the best free agent in the country, good luck. But like, that seems like that would be a little bit tough to explain away to recruits if you're going four straight transfer quarterbacks and you haven't had a starter you've recruited out of high school for like, what, 6 or 7 years? That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because it's like a whole new market now with it, where we can't really know for sure how it's going to work. Cause like what you were just saying, it's like, if based on what we've seen in the past, that would be probably kind of, you know, not great, but maybe with the way that the transfer portal is now, with all these transfers happening, maybe it won't be that big of a deal. I'd still prefer at this point to develop my own guy instead of going and getting somebody else every single year. But at the same time, it's worked pretty well for him, so I don't know.
I'd be interested. I mean, Jordan Love, that's legit. If he's really going to be a grad transfer potentially, and I'm not that I doubt it. I mean, it makes total sense for him, especially with a little bit of a regression year with this new staff. I mean, but look, there's other tremendous options for him. I mean, I'm looking at LSU, where they've got Miles Brennan, but I'm much less confident in Miles Brennan being the future of LSU than I am. Like, the drop-off to me is steeper between Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan at LSU than it is between Jalen Hurts and Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. Like, if you can have sort of your pick of schools that need a grad transfer and you're Jordan Love, I don't know, man. Those wide receivers at LSU would be pretty tempting to go throw to.
And what's kind of weird is, wasn't like Houston mentioned as a possible destination for Love as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so Derek King, you know, they redshirt King with the idea of playing him next year, but now they might be in the market for Jordan Love. What's that about?
I don't think Derek King's playing at Houston in 2020.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I know, but that exposes this whole, like, you know, ridiculous talking point that like he had every intention of coming back to Houston, when all of us basically knew that this was a ploy for him to go seek greener pastures.
Mm. College football bowl season is upon us, and we have a new way for you to up the action in our bowl challenge. It's your free chance to compete all postseason for $5,000. All you need to do is pick the games against the spread, and you could walk away with a big $5,000 in cash. You can even get your friends, family, and coworkers involved too by adding a buddy group with its own private scores and standings. So visit cbssports.com/bowl, that's cbssports.com/bowl, or download the CBS Sports app and join the action to get your chance to win $5,000. Speaking of those dollars, coming up on the other side, Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri and his plan to lead the Tigers to Sun Belt championships.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of mixing up some schools, did y'all get to hear from Eli Drinkwitz at his Missouri press conference?
No.
We must point our passion in the right way, and we're going to unify our purpose. Our purpose is to win, make no mistake about it, but it's to win the right way. And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the Sun Belt, to win the SEC East, a bowl game with class, integrity, and academic excellence. And Jim's exactly right, I just did.
Now, to be fair, Eli has been in the Sun Belt for a very long time.
My man printed out his last year's term paper, changed the date and the class, and turned it in.
He was literally looking down at the paper when he said that.
Yeah.
I'm Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. Oh, man. We were talking about Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn. I was thinking that the Arkansas high school visor gang is rolling a little bit too deep right now, especially now that Eli Drinkwitz is here, because Missouri has even embraced the visor as part of his branding, because as part of the tease to the press conference before the announcement was official when everyone knew it, the Missouri football Twitter account, the real one, not the fake one, tweeted out just a picture of a Missouri visor. Are we going to let Coach Drink come in here and just be the visor?
Listen, back in my day, there was only one visor, and I still only recognize one visor.
Is that OBC?
Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
Spurrier. Yeah.
Head ball coach.
What?
I mean, Drinkwitz, I don't know. What do you guys think about this hire?
I it has nothing to do with Drinkwitz. I think that if you obviously he's been a name that you've heard from other coaches and just in circles of a guy that a lot of coaches respect and think is very smart. And I think that in his 3 years as offensive coordinator, he did a very good job with that NC State offense. And I think we saw, you know, a decline without him there. It's just, he's only been at App State for 1 year, and yeah, he had a ton of success, but I don't really give him the credit for that success. So I think if I'm Mizzou and I'm making this hire, and to give him $4 million a year, it's like, I don't know what he's done. And I feel like you're putting yourself at risk for a very unproven commodity at this point that could easily end up blowing up in your face. And now maybe it works. It's just, if it doesn't work, you're on the hook for a lot of money, and that could really hinder what you can do with your next search if you need to have one.
You know, I don't like pride myself on being a great negotiator. Like, I'm typically the type of person that when I'm in the midst of a negotiation, I'm kind of just like, yeah, you know what, man, you deserve it. Sure. I'll let you have a little more or whatever the case may be. But even speaking as a self-professed poor negotiator, I don't understand how these, once again, like, we've already been knocking athletic directors already, I think, this week. But once again, how does Eli Drinkwitz get $4 million?
Like, I don't know.
Why can't you say, I'll give, you know, you can come here for $3 million. And Eli Drinkwitz says, well, no, and I don't, maybe he's a CAA guy. Maybe he's going to be Sexton. Maybe Sexton's saying this. I don't know. But if the Sexton then say, no, it's $4 million or you're not getting Drinkwitz, I think, like, there's other coaches out there that you can get for $2 million that would come to Missouri and coach in the SEC, I think, that are good coaches. Maybe not $2 million, but $3 million. It's just really surprising to me that there isn't more leverage that some of these ADs are able to exercise. Like, the buyouts that are negotiated, the re-ups that we see from coaches like Dave Doran at NC State, for example, like, I just don't get it, man. Like, maybe I'm missing some of the back end politics of it all that would really sort of illuminate this for me if I saw it firsthand. But it sure seems like some of these athletic directors are getting gamed.
In other years, I think we might have more of an argument, but I think this is a supply and demand issue. I think that too many Power 5 coaches moved on, too many Power 5 schools moved on their coaches without having for sure locked in candidates that were going to be willing to leave their current job to come. I think that when we, you know, there was some reporting that indicated the pool of candidates was really shallow, and nothing is better for an agent and a head coach than to realize that you are, you're the prettiest thing at the bar. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz, because of his Arkansas high school ties, I don't know how much interest there actually was there, but the even thought that Missouri and Arkansas were bidding against each other for Eli Drinkwitz, someone who had been a head coach for 1 year and was currently making $750,000 in base salary a year, and that he's 36 years old. I guess it was an issue of there clearly was not a long list. And look, the Sam Pittman hire, we loved. We spent a lot of time celebrating. Yes, sir. We did a lot of time celebrating it here. And we talked about the entertainment factor of Sam Pittman and Lane Kiffin. But when we put together like a mid-season wish list of coaches that might be on the move, and it was including like a James Franklin or an Urban Meyer, we've gotten all the way down to where it's Lane Kiffin, Sam Pittman, and Eli Drinkwitz. Those are the Power 5 hires, and the price was probably going to be the same for a name with more respect or a name with more experience, or at least more on paper, a resume that might be more impressive. It was always going to be $4 million. SEC has just raised the bar. That's just where it is, and that's the problem, or not the problem, but that's the issue, is that when a bunch of people did not make themselves available available for that $4 million job. It was going to be going to someone that in another year at another school probably would have taken 2.5.
Regardless of salary, here's a question for you two. If you're a Missouri fan, who are you more happier? Who are you more confident with, Eli Drinkwitz or Dave Aranda?
Drink.
Mm.
I think I would be more confident with Eli Drinkwitz.
Chip.
But I mean that's a little bit
option
of the
three.
Old, like, I think that's a little bit of the upside play, I guess. Like the gamble, especially with it being Missouri, a program that just got rid of Barry Odom, that was anxious to move in a
offensive
direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because I want to reiterate or circle back and say, like, all that said about how it feels like that's of strange market value for Eli Drinkwitz, this could be, like, I still think this could be a great hire. Like, it could be, like, because he is very highly regarded, very well respected, and has been very successful very quickly. It's just, that's a big $4 million bet on a guy who's only got 1 year of coaching experience. I'm just surprised that he demanded that sort of market value. So, I've got some questions about Dave Aranda's ability to be like a head coach recruiter in the SEC. Maybe that's not fair, but that would be my concern.
Hey guys, do you know what he is? Eli Drinkwitz is a Moneyline sprinkle.
He is a Moneyline sprinkle.
He's drink exactly what he is. Drink the sprink, baby.
The money line drinkle.
Yes. Missouri was out there and they were looking at everything they had and all their different options. And they're like, you know what? Let's just go for it. Let's just drop it. Let's sprinkle it on Drinkwitz. If it's the Kansas State plus 1100, if it's a Temple plus 200, we'll find it.
It's like a plus 350. You know, good value. You get a really nice return, but you're not totally. Or it's not totally a wing and a prayer.
To be fair, you know, you're in the SEC East now. You got to take some risks if you're gonna surpass Florida and Georgia. You're gonna have to hit home run,
right? So Sun Belt championships or SEC East championships, Eli Drinkwitz will be trying to get it done. We have turned in our CBS Sports All-America ballots. I have not the full teams. You can go check out the full teams at cbssports.com. I happen to know the unanimous picks so far, so names that we all agree on: Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Chase Young, and Chuba Hubbard. There are a few other unanimous ones. I was not told those. But are there any names that you want to make sure or that you would hope do make it to the final ballot? Names that you would campaign for?
Looking at my ballot, I mean, I would hope that Jonathan Taylor makes it. I would hope that Travis Etienne make it, because I think that if you just, like, if you're filling out just based off the numbers this year, maybe those two don't finish in your top four, but I think that they probably are two of the four best running backs in the country. Receiver-wise, I hope Michael Pittman makes it. He was on my ballot. I don't know if he's going to. It's a very deep year for receivers, so some people are going to be getting left off. Other than that, I hope Calvin Throckmorton gets on, because there's a lot of Penei Sewell attention to that Oregon offensive line. I think Throckmorton gets overlooked a lot, so I hope he makes it.
I don't know. I don't have I don't have my ballot in front of me, but I mean, I think most of the names that you mentioned were the names that I, you know, felt like deserved it. Did you mention Isaiah Simmons?
No.
No.
Isaiah Simmons was my LB1.
Yeah, I think he was my LB1 too. That's a little out of sight, out of mind. I think that's Dabo's talking point of you know, all these guys are getting the shaft on the All-American teams and the award season. That's fuel to that, because Isaiah Simmons, I think, is probably the best linebacker in America, especially considering like the unique ways they use him and sort of the way Brent Venables has weaponized him. So Isaiah Simmons, if he doesn't make the list as a first teamer, that's a mistake.
I am strong Isaiah Simmons. I'm also curious just to see how Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson end up splitting up votes or where they end up falling. It's also a deep defensive line group.
I don't think
group.
I had Marlon Davidson on my ballot.
Mm.
And that's not a – I mean, I could have certainly – I thought about him, but that was, you know, like, do you leave off, like, A.J. Epenesa, for example?
Right.
You know, you could make a case Marlon Davidson should go on there over A.J. Epenesa, but I had Epenesa on there. So there's D line was a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
There's also,
yeah, I didn't have him on mine either.
You've got Robertson from Louisiana Tech. It's a cornerback I would like to see on there. Jeff Okuda.
I didn't put him on there, but I love that dude.
Yeah. He's in my CB4.
It's a CB4. Shout out Chris Rock. it was tough. And I did have Throckmorton as my OL6, but I feel like that's not going to get him on the team.
No, I had him at 5, but I just, yeah. I there were 4 guys I thought were better than him, but it's just, I feel like when people talk about that Oregon line, that everybody's talking about Penei Sewell, I'm like, no, this dude's pretty good too, man.
Yeah. Shane Lemieux's not bad either.
No?
Yeah, whole bunch of good players. All right, you can follow him on, go check out the CBS Sports All-America team on cbsports.com. It will be up. Hopefully by the time this arrives on your mobile device. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow him at Tom Fernelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.